and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folt. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from Mercenary Musings World Headquarters in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folt. Mickey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing well. You're just coming off a nice stretch of R&R on holidays in Hawaii, I believe.
That's right, Rob. We traded a cold rainforest of Vancouver for a wet rainforest of Hawaii.
And pretty soon you're going to be switching it to maybe a chilly Toronto for the PDAC convention. That's just coming up just around the corner.
It is, and I'll get my dose of winter. Although I am going ice fishing over the next couple of days, so I'm going to get prepared for that bitterly cold weather you have up there.
Okay. Well, last time, Mickey, we discussed the massive run-up in the price of cobalt. For this edition of the program, we're focusing on nickel, and I believe it's currently sitting at about $6.20 U.S. a pound. How has nickel been trading so far this year?
Well, that's about its 52-week high, which was $6.37. Its 52-week low is less than $4, $3.97. Nickel historically has been plagued by volatile prices. For instance, a five-year chart, low of 350, high of 950 a pound. 25-year chart, it has gone from $2 to $23, and then it went back down below $2. Mm-hmm. So it is just a metal that historically plagued by volatile prices.
And what's the big reason behind that volatility in prices? And I think you're emphasizing this, And you're indicating that certainly it's a lot more volatile than other base metal prices.
Well, it certainly is, and it's more than any other metal. It's tied to the demand for iron ore and steel. And as we've known over the last 10, 11 years, 12 years even, the demand for iron ore to make steel has fluctuated drastically depending on what's going on in China or the global economic crisis. So about 97%, 96%, let's say, of nickel is used to make alloys of one sort or the other. Mm-hmm. And the majority of that is used to make stainless steel.
Okay. And has that demand been going up? Mickey, now you talked about it being a very fluctuating price, but you know, if you go back over a year, it's up, what, well over $1 a pound, $1.30 a pound or so. Actually, more than that, more than $2 a pound. So that's a pretty sharp move over just 52 weeks.
Well, it certainly is. And like I say, that's not especially unusual. The demand equation and the supply equation, I mean, the recent run-up really, Rob, has been because of supply disruptions, specifically Indonesia over the last 3 or 4 years has made these rules that you can't export metals for processing, so all processing has to be done in country. And then the Philippines, and they shut down all mines last year. A lot of the demand that was not being supplied by Indonesia with these laterite deposits was picked up by the Philippines, and then you have all this so geopolitical intrigue in the Philippines too.
Mm-hmm. Now, Indonesia, isn't it now getting prepared to resume exports after that four-year hiatus?
Well, they are, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that could be a disruption for the nickel price once again.
What are your thoughts on just how this price is going to, you know, a year from now, Mickey? What do you think it could be sitting at?
I have no idea, Rob. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, nickel is not one of the metals that I follow. I don't think I've ever owned a nickel explorer, and certainly not a miner. Mm-hmm. It's a relatively minor metal. Let me say that differently. It is a major metal, but it's only the 10th in total demand. So right. If you look at the demand for nickel. It's the 10th most used, but it's only half of the lead market. And demand can fluctuate drastically. Our demand this year, or in 2017, was 15% below 2013. So it's not especially a metal that demand is growing on a consistent basis.
Right. And I know that one part of this nickel story that's really heated up over the past year, people talking about the demand for electric vehicles down the road and that perhaps giving the demand for nickel a bit of a boost. But you know what? It's such a small slice of the market right now, isn't it? I think it's too early to, would you agree that it'd be way too early to start speculating on electric vehicle impact on demand for nickel?
Yeah, well, you nailed it there. I mean, we've already said that 4% of other uses are outside the alloy industry. So, and batteries are a small part of even that 4%. You have green glass, green bottles, you have catalysts, some other uses, magnets, and then you have battery components, and it is used in batteries. It's used in nickel cadmium batteries. It's actually used in lithium ion batteries. And as we discussed last show, easily substitutes for cobalt in lithium ion batteries. And it's a component in what are called nickel metal hydride batteries. But you add all that up, and it's a very small part of a market that's something on the order of 2.5 million tons per year. Oh, actually, that would have been 2013, 2016, and 2017. World mine production of 2.1 million tons. Recycling of scrap is a very important part of the industry. Something on the order of 50% of the U.S. demand is by scrapping steel and reprocessing.
And you mentioned mine production. Some of the big mining companies, I guess, they're really not giving investors a shot of confidence. We had, was it Vale announcing, I guess it was in December, I think, that it's going to be cutting production this year by about 15% in 2018. So that's not a shot of confidence in the outlook right now for nickel, is it, when you have a mining company cutting back on production?
Well, I'm one of the major mining companies, too. I mean, if you look, the majority of this market's controlled by the major miners. There are sulfide deposits and oxide deposits, also known as laterite deposits, but they're very energy intensive. The problem with the sulfide deposits, some of those are running out of ore. But if you look at the major producers, you've got Norilsk in Russia, you've got Vale, BHP, Billiton, Glencore, a large French company which operates mainly in the Southwest Pacific called Eramet, the Indonesian state-owned company, et cetera. So this really is big boy football, and once again, depends on the health of the steel industry, with major consumers being China, European Union, United States, Japan, Korea, the major industrialized and metal processing countries in the world.
You're calling it a big boy football, Mickey, but it's not a game that you're partaking in, is it, from an investing standpoint? You really don't recommend others do the same.
Well, I don't know of any nickel plays that interest me, but bear in mind, Rob, I'm not a nickel guy, and I never have been because of the volatility in demand, the volatility in prices. There's some other types of deposits that are interesting, at least from a geological point of view. Huge resources in the manganese nodules on the seafloor, but that was so 1970s and with no economic horizon as far out as we can look. In BC and some other parts of the world, there are nickel iron alloys, metallic nickel iron alloys. Those have captured the attention of some of the majors in the past with joint ventures. But from my point of view, it's, Rob, I'm a copper and gold guy, and those are the metals that look good to me right now, and zinc. So I would tend personally to stay away from nickel.
Okay. And you being a gold guy, we've got the big convention coming up in, about a week's time, a little more than a week's time in Toronto, the big PDAC. And I assume we're going to be getting together then.
Well, we will. And a week from today, I will be on stage at the Letter Writers Investors Forum. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do a little self-promotion here. The title of my talk will be What Trumps Dollars and Gold? And I'm going to go through some interesting charts, and then I'm going to have four or five stock picks at the end of the show. And I look forward to getting together with you at our favorite watering hole toward the end of PDAC, and we'll do a bit of a recap of the markets, the junior sector, and what looks good going forward.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to it, Mickey, so we'll see you in just over a week's time, and have a safe trip up.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.